Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. This is our day two podcast for PAX Prime 2015. My name is Nick Henderson. I'm joined today by Ed Mitchell.
Hello.
Christopher Davis.
That's me.
And Crispy.
You remember to introduce them this time.
I did. So, like last night, we are huddled around our microphones in the hotel room. We just had a long day of playing demos, and we did a couple of interviews, things like that. So, that reminds me of a game that you didn't have on your list that we played that we should probably bring up. Minecraft.
Oh, that's what I was missing all fucking day. I was like, what did I play?
There is something we forgot here. Okay.
Which is definitely a great sign for Minecraft.
All right, so let's just
go straight into Minecraft.
We played a lot of stuff today, so let's jump right into it. What was the first thing that we saw? What's the first thing on your list, Crispy?
I played a lot today. The first thing I played this morning, walked into the convention hall, refreshed. Oh my god! By the way, this has been like one of the easiest PAX mornings I've ever had in any of the PAXes I've ever gone to. I woke up 5 minutes before my alarm. I was ready to go. Went down, had breakfast. Oh, it was great. I love the fact that everything's 2 hours behind here. My body. I instead of waking up at noon, I'm waking up at like 10 and I'm a normal human being, you know?
Feels good.
Okay. Anyway. The first game I played today was Drawn to Death. Now,
I know you guys
have heard of this because Brad was talking a lot about it when you guys saw it at E3.
Yes.
That was David Jaffe's new...
Yes. In fact, Brad did an interview with David Jaffe.
Yeah. This is the new competitive multiplayer...
Third-person shooter.
Yeah, shooter-ish. It's kind of hard to call it a shooter. I mean, most of the weapons are guns, but like, I don't know. It's...
What does that have to do with being
like,
a shooter, really?
I mean, some of the weapons, like one of the ones, like one of my favorite ones I played with today was this weapon, and it's basically a mutant that's sewn onto your character's back, and it's like a head and one arm.
Sounds like a gun to me.
And it just throws dodgeballs.
That's awesome.
And, yeah, it's amazing. And if your character's running, which I think is like left trigger, if you hold left trigger, it's like a run, like a dash. While you're running, that mutant dodgeball thing will drag the dodgeball on the ground behind you, and it'll like spin up and get really like fast and have all these lines coming off of it. And if you throw it from there, it does more damage.
That's cool.
Yeah. One of the power ups I saw, I didn't get to try, but that was pretty cool. A character gets grabbed out of nowhere and suddenly becomes Master Hand from Smash Brothers.
No.
It's his arm that's flying around and hitting people.
What it is it's. So on your D-pad, you've got these different like special power-ups that you can only use a couple times. And it's kind of like what you're saying, except the hand doesn't grab the character. It's like basically the artist, the guy who's drawing all this. Because, by the way, if you didn't know, the whole aesthetic of the game is that it's like some like middle school kid's notebook.
Yeah, everything you know? It looks like it's drawn on like a sheet of notebook paper and like pen.
Everything's
it's all
really sketchy
and
everything. Yeah. So this special ability is actually like a hand, like a human hand, and your character actually the hand is in like a gun formation, and the character jumps off the page and sits on the hand.
Is the hand like rendered like a real human hand, or
it's
is it
not like
drawn?
It's not like a photorealistic hand, but it is rendered and colored like a human hand.
So it's obviously not supposed to be part of like the drawing.
It's supposed to be like the artist's hand.
That's cool.
And when you do this, you get to go into this like fly cam mode where you can like move around like freely, like in all three dimensions. And you have a reticle, and when you pull the trigger, the hand just goes like, and like shoots bullets out of it. Or like there's one that it shoots a missile, and it does like an insane amount of damage. In fact, I got most of my kills doing that.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. And on top of, so besides the weird weapons, like the dodgeball mutant, and there's like a shotgun that looks like a demon skull, and there's a laser rifle that looks like all sci-fi and everything. Like this kid sketched a laser rifle in his book.
Yeah.
There's also specific character powers, and I was playing as I don't recall her name, but she's like a female like devil, and she wears like a cowboy hat. And she has, and she has two special, like, character-specific abilities. And one of them is she'll throw her cowboy hat, like a boomerang, and it'll do, like, X amount of damage going out, But coming back, it does twice as much damage.
Most people not living in Texas don't realize that cowboy hats will do that.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, 10-gallon hats really do fly like
that's
that.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Imagine if Oddjob had just used those instead.
Instead of boars? Imagine, like, instead of just knocking that statue's head off, you could have just, like, fucking crumbled the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
But, and her other ability is a tail whip. She's a devil tail. So it's kind of like a melee sort of
thing.
That's hot. But that also gives you, it gives you like this reticle that has like a range that, and it'll change color the closer you are to somebody. And when it's at like red or something, if you hit them, it does crazy amount of damage.
Sorry, there's apparently everyone's dying in Seattle tonight.
Dude, I believe it.
It's fucking ambulance.
It's raining like crazy, and there was a bunch of drunk people driving really not well. Like,
there's also a bunch of drunk people playing dodgeball on a tennis court.
Dude, they were getting into it. Like, they were fucking playing for blood.
It was strip dodgeball.
I don't think
I'm telling.
Well, there was it started a raining couple people
started taking calls.
There were people without shirts, including women. So.
Including a few
Seattle,
ladies.
I mean,
I saw a guy,
maybe it was strip dodgeball. I guess that's not the crazy
Joseph
thing,
told
like
us to go to, so we went to get ice cream. Joseph tells us where this great ice cream place is. Like, it's really great ice cream, just don't cross the street, you'll get beat up. Like,
that was he said there was like a lot of muggings or something in that park, and we get there and there's like a really violent game of strip dodgeball going on.
That was a fun adventure. Anyways, video games.
I played about a match, maybe two matches of, I don't remember how many I played, of Drawn to Death.
Was there music playing in the match when you were, because I remember, I think I remember playing at E3 and I was like, this is cool, and I love the art style,
being
but
like,
I remember it being really quiet, there wasn't enough background noise.
So it was in the PlayStation kiosk, so they didn't have headsets. I think there was, I don't remember.
I had a headset on.
Maybe I was wearing it. I don't remember the music though.
It just nonchalant.
Chris Davis just
production grunge music.
Just okay. Chris Davis.
I'm trying to help
just,
here.
What does that even mean, Crispy?
Like, okay.
Chris Davis. Okay, yeah. Chris Davis.
Just,
okay.
Forgive me for being correct.
You're right. This is the first thing, and this has been a long day. But yeah. There were headsets, but like, yeah. The music wasn't anything right.
Yeah.
The way they were presenting the game. They had these like Sony brand headsets they were putting on everybody, and they were like set to like the maximum volume,
the gold wireless.
Yeah, and it's just it was so fucking loud that I had to take mine off.
Oh yeah,
so
that was one of the things we were over at the Turtle Beach booth today, listening to some of the ones they had on there, and like you couldn't adjust any of the volume on them, and a lot of them were like so loud I would put it on for 2 seconds, and be like, okay. It sounds great, but goddamn.
Sounds good!
Exactly. Like, fucking, ear, like, I take it off, like, this one's good, and my ear, like, blood is dripping out of my ears. Yeah.
So Drawn to Death, like, when we watched the E3 demo and Brad was talking about this, I was like, oh, it looks kind of cool. I'm excited for it now.
Cool.
Like, it's cool, and it's going to be free to play, so.
Yeah.
You know.
One of those
take from that what you will, but we did get beta sign up, so hopefully we'll be able to
we'll be streaming that for sure. Well, you have a pretty comprehensive list, so why don't we just start with, well, Ed, you were kind of separated from us earlier in the day.
Ed played a lot of
what did you play while you weren't with us.
I played Super Dungeon Bros.
Super Dungeon Bros.
So they gave us
guessing this isn't the indie mega booth.
No, it actually was upstairs right by Hob.
Oh, in the sixth floor.
Aren't they giving away something?
Yeah, they had the sunglasses.
Oh, the sunglasses. The Kanye glasses.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
So it was kind of cool. It was a very early build, but basically up to four players all playing on the same screen, no split screen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to kind of work together to traverse this dungeon or whatever. And like, there was like a bunch of different weapons that you could unlock.
Yeah.
And you basically chose the weapon as you entered the dungeon or whatever. And so there was hammers and swords and stuff. And every different weapon had a different kind of special ability.
Yeah.
There was one where I used my special ability and all of a sudden we were in a tower above each other. Kind of like Triforce Heroes, where everyone was standing on top of each other in a tower, and we were all firing at these enemies, and the enemies were swarming.
What kind of art style? Like, I'm trying to visualize this. What does it look like?
It's kind of like Hob, Mm-hmm. But it had kind of a Castle Crashers feel at the same time.
Yeah, aren't they all like kind of like chibi cartoon?
Yeah, very chibi character kind of thing. Okay. It was cool, but it was an early build. I didn't really get that much.
And the knight, like the main knight on the production art, like his helmet's visor is like Kanye glasses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They all are. They all have.
Oh, they all are. Yeah. Okay.
They all have Kanye glasses.
Yeah. And it was on the PS4, so each controller had the different LED for the different colors of the person that you were playing. But gotcha. it was a cool little game. Didn't get very far into it because then we had to go over and play Hob.
Yeah, which...
So you want to talk about Hob?
Let's talk about a transition.
Ooh.
We played Hob, which is the next game from Runic.
Played Hob.
Well, me and Crispy played Hob.
We watched Hob, and I had to control my excitement.
Yes. Okay, so Hob's the next game from Runic Games. We actually did an interview, which we'll post online once we get that edited.
Which are the makers of Torchlight.
Yeah, so they did Torchlight. This is their first game. And what they were, they were talking about this, and like, this was essentially a project they wanted to do for a long time. And, they've did Torchlight, they did Torchlight 2. This is a kind of branching off from that. It's a little bit different, different genre, obviously. But essentially you play, they drop you into this world, and they don't really tell you anything. It's one of those games where it's kind of like, here's a character, here's a world. We're not going to give you any instruction and just kind of explore and figure out the mechanics as you go.
Yeah, the guy did mention that the spot where you are was like a little bit into the game.
Yeah,
because you don't start off with the little claw shield thing or whatever.
Yeah, so you have your little character has a gauntlet that you will eventually upgrade and use to traverse the world.
Kind of
so,
looks like Hellboy.
The thing is, like when we were talking to him and playing the game, like, well, first of all, the game has this really, I think, really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like whimsical art style,
yeah.
But while we were playing this, like he was saying all the right things. Like he was dropping all the right names. He was like Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, Castlevania, Metroid,
Brothers,
A Tale of Two Sons,
Enslaved Odyssey of the West,
Enslaved.
Which I was
surprised
by.
Yeah. And then
wait, that was like you.
That was more
like you were like, this reminds me of Enslaved, and he's like, yeah, I guess, yeah.
He was like, that game is underrated.
He's like, yeah, I really like that game.
There was a lot of inspiration.
The combat felt
run you through with that fucking pin.
It's a tiny pin.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to take a
so
while.
Violent, guys. We're talking about a whimsical.
It felt like Zelda.
Well, this game was kind of violent.
But it also kind of felt Darksiders-y. You mentioned Darksiders.
I mentioned Darksiders after the fact because it has this really, like, everything is really, I don't know how to describe it. I don't know how to describe what the Dark Souls, or not Dark Souls, Darksiders is very, like,
it's almost cartoony.
Almost cartoony, like, but also...
It's more like stylized.
Yeah, but the world is like, everything is blocky and chunky and has weight to it. And
geometric, maybe?
I don't know if I would describe Darksiders as geometric, but,
There are shapes in Darksiders, Nick. Okay?
No,
can't deny that.
There were no,
shapes or forms whatsoever.
So, talking about the world, the guy mentioned that you're basically... going through this game and you're rebuilding the world.
He said the world's, first of all, he said the world's open world.
Uh-huh.
Well, we said, what's the game about? And he's like, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
And then we were like, so what are we doing? Well, I don't want to tell you too much.
So the world, it's open world, but the demo we played was linear for the sake of the demo.
Yeah.
The idea was that this is a large open world, and before the game begins, something happens and it causes the world to kind of break up.
What happens? Can't tell you.
It's basically your goal to go through the game and rebuild the world.
Yeah.
There was a section of the demo that the actual game world looked like it was like an old broken down like giant robot.
Yeah.
That you were kind of like moving around.
And he mentioned, we're going to see several points in the demo where you can see other parts of the world that in the demo you can't get to. In that full game you will be able to get to them. But you'll see things, and it's this kind of teasing what's going on. So at some point there was like kind of a rock blocking our path, but over the rock you could see this big field over the right.
Yeah.
And there's like this creature walking around, and he gets in like an elevator and goes down into the ground, and you're like, oh shit, what was that? Where is he going? And it's like, I don't know. But like, it got me kind of excited. But
the really great thing about how they're showing off the map is that you're always getting glimpses of areas you're going to eventually be able to go to.
Very, very Zelda-y in
that
way.
And that robot showed up later when you were underground. It was kind of in the background, like far away in the background, kind of doing a little
jig
or whatever.
It was cool too in that, like, you had to like solve a puzzle in order to get to that area in the background, but you didn't really know exactly how those two areas were going to connect because the whole world is like a fucking transformer.
It shifts and changes as you solve puzzles. It's
like
all these panels
and like sections rising and like lowering.
There was one puzzle we solved, and all of a sudden, like you solve this puzzle, and then like this thing comes out of the ground and like lifts this block up into the ceiling through a hole, and then like it goes up to the level that was just above you that you were just at, and all of a sudden this thing that was in the environment that didn't make any sense suddenly is like, oh, that's for this puzzle, and then you backtrack, go up to the top, and then you can suddenly solve that puzzle.
Yeah.
And then you do that and it unlocks an entirely another part of the world, and it's like, oh, now I can get there, because now it's all like, there was this really beautiful moment where it was just like everything fell into place, like, and it was boom, everything's clear, and it just everything clicked together perfectly. It was just a really well put together demo, I think, in terms of like introducing the world and what you can kind of expect. He was mentioning things about like, so this gauntlet you can upgrade, like the one the ability you used in the demo was what allowed you to like latch on to things at a distance,
grappling hook,
like a grappling hook, and pull yourself to them.
It looked like Samus's
the little whip thing,
energy grapple. Uh-huh.
But then a few minutes later, you could use that to solve a puzzle, and then right after that, you could use that to there's this little like mini boss enemy, and he had this like armor on his legs, and you like latched onto the armor,
very Zelda like,
and then yanked the armor off and exposed the weak points, and you could attack him, and it's all stuff that, you know, frankly, it's all stuff that we've seen before.
Done before, but it's...
Which is also what I said about Darksiders. Like, that's a game... Everything in that game was just, like, really great homages to, like, classic video game tropes. And, like, but that game, I think, worked brilliantly. Like, that game was really satisfying. And I feel like this is going to be very similar to Darksiders in that way. It has a lot of really awesome things that you know and love from, like, really these really classic franchises, but all put together in these really cool, unique ways that kind of make it feel unique.
And so he was saying that there's, like, different functions to each, like, ability you unlock.
Yeah, I tried to ask... during the interview, I tried to ask him, like, what other kind of powers can we expect from the gauntlet? And I knew he was going to say, you know, I can't tell you, but he did follow it. He's like, but we've built a lot of...
Yeah.
We've built a lot of gauntlets.
And the gauntlet's also a shield or whatever. And there's also, he kind of hinted or whatever that you, at later on in the game, you get the ability to grab onto the head of an enemy and just squish it.
Yeah.
You know, in the combat, which is not a huge focus of the demo, was cool too. It's, you were doing a lot of throwing your shield up and rolling and like attacking in the attacking.
It has a lock-on system too, so
It was almost kind of like a very simplified version of Dark Souls. I mean, just like you know, all of, like the basic components of Dark Souls combat.
Dark Souls now,
I know, but like Dark Souls obviously is
what they did well and what, you know, he talked about as well is that they spent a lot of time making sure that the combat felt impactful.
Yeah.
Like, physically, like, when you hit somebody, it feels satisfying to hit somebody.
Yeah, and it certainly does.
And when you take a hit, it feels like, you know, it feels important, you know?
They have fall damage. Nick found that one.
There is
Nick
fall damage.
Always finds the fall damage.
Yeah. I mean, I was just trying to verify. That's all. That game was cool. That game was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. That's one of the highlights of the show for me so far, for sure.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What else do we have? Crispy or Ed, take it away.
I played the new game from Behemoth, who are the makers of Castle Crashers and Battle Block Theater.
But yeah.
Their game is called Pit People. It's very different from a lot of their other games. In that it's turn based, it's hexagons like Civilization.
It's like a hex grid, yeah.
Yeah, and but at the same time, it's very, very Behemoth. It has the same narrator, same kind of humor, and a lot of customization and stuff. There's lots of different weapons and but what the coolest thing that I think Crispy and I really liked is you can actually kill everyone on a map. And then leave one enemy alive, and then you can capture them.
That's actually like a big mechanic in the game is that you can capture pretty much any enemy in the game.
Are you Fultoning them or how are you doing it?
No, kind of are.
Why'd you bring that up?
You kind of are. Okay, but here's the thing. You kind of are Fultoning them because you have to use, like, there's a certain economy to it because you have to not only have nets in order to capture, which are real items that you have to pay for, you also have to pay for jail cells, basically, in your home base to keep them.
So you get four slots by default or whatever, and as you play through the missions you recruit upgrade more like and more people, and then if you go into the area where you customize all the thing, one of the options there is to purchase another jail cell as an option. And so the character that you recruit in the demo is the support class healer class,
which is a cupcake, with a catapult strapped to its back so that it flings frosting on the people, which heals them.
Yeah,
I hear frosting, and all I can picture is
that giant badger from Castle Crashers with all the poop coming out of its butt. Or what was that? Was it a badger or some kind of monster?
What was the thing that she said? It's like, butt stuff works, but...
She was explaining, like, because she was one of the technical writers or something one of the writers.
Right.
One of the creative people. And, like, their philosophy, she's like, our philosophy is that this doesn't work. And this does work. And what she's doing with it, she's like this, like waving her hands in front of like her crotch, basically, doesn't work. This butt stuff, like waving her hands over her butt, like does work. If it has to do with the butt, it's good. Like that's how they write their comedy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it pretty much is.
Was gonna say I hear Behemoth, and all I hear is Nolan and Chris and Bernadette getting exceptionally violently loud and rambunctious playing Battle Block Theater.
Dude. Yeah.
There was a point where I was like, the cops are going to be called because they're getting so violently.
Battle Block brings out the darkness.
But talking about the combat, so there's a little bit of strategy about where you place the enemies or your characters around other enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is like the game. That's the entire game.
Yeah, but like one of the things the way the hexagons work, if you're next to two enemies, then your character... You don't decide which you attack. Your character decides, and it's kind of random.
Yeah.
So you want to kind of position yourself so that you know which person you're attacking. But if you don't really care, then just go for it. But
yeah.
And then the other mechanic is there's kind of a weapon triangle, kind of very Fire Emblem-like.
Rock, paper, scissors
thing. The example in the demo is if you have a mace... You do like more damage to people wearing helmets.
Yeah,
they're called helmetites.
Oh yeah, there's a whole faction of people called helmetites.
Yeah,
the whole thing was that they loved helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
all right.
And so, the character that you get has a hammer, and she will do more damage to the helmetites, and you're able to switch these weapons with whoever you want. So there's like a gigantic sword and a smaller sword, and only one person can wield the weapon that you hold at a time, but anyone can wield it. So at some point later when you get another mace or something, you can have two people holding the mace and then one person holding the sword. And you have shields and stuff like that. So there's no like real class system, but everyone's customizable. So you can kind of pick and choose what you want based on
who does what based on their equipment.
I
mean, the thing to know about this game is that it is essentially Behemoth doing a turn-based strategy like RPG,
mm-hmm.
but in their traditional style of let's make it arcadey, let's make this game viable on like an arcade cabinet, basically.
Oh yeah, so it's played like, on an arcade cabinet.
The demo is an arcade cabinet. It's got a giant A button and a B button and a stick.
Yeah, and the stick is shaped like a Y, like the Y on the Xbox controller.
You have a control stick. And
But
So all you're doing basically is every turn is just select a unit, tell him where to move, lock it in.
Yeah.
And all the combat, all of that, like all the menus, that's all gone from this. The characters all decide that on their own, basically. They know what to do based on where they are.
Right.
And then when you she was saying when you're playing on an Xbox, you're going to hold the Y button to execute those orders, but their demo cabinet has a Y-shaped lever that you pull.
Yeah, you pull it down and hold it down in order to end your turn or lock your actions in or whatever.
I mean, and just like Castle Crashers, just like Battle Block, you can do full co-op You can play the whole campaign co-op. You can do, they have a whole like arena mode where pit people, you know, obviously, yeah. where you can do like competitive stuff. So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, think of like Final Fantasy Tactics, but for people who like silly arcade games.
And the narrator is kind of responds mm-hmm. to the things that you do. She was mentioning that like if you kill multiple enemies in the same turn, yeah. the narrator will start getting really pissed at you for like really messing with them. And then in the very first mission, the mission begins and he goes, and then Horatio died. And then you continue Horatio's fighting. Horatio's the main character or whatever. And you continue through the mission that you're playing. And he goes, I said Horatio died. And so he keeps getting like more and more angry at the fact that you're actually surviving this mission.
That's so awesome. It's kind of like Stanley Parable in that
way. Very Stanley Parable.
Yeah, that's cool.
In that sense. Yeah. So definitely... definitely something to look out for cool. in the near future.
Yeah.
Where is that booth, by the way?
It is...
Oh, right next to Spy Party.
Oh, okay. Right next to Spy Party. What am I saying? But you know Behemoth exactly. is always right
next to
right
Spy
right
Party corner.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
What else? What else we got?
Ooh. I played Dark Souls 3.
All right.
Dude, it's fun. It's still Dark Souls, and it's Bloodborne.
Yeah.
It's Dark Souls, and it's Bloodborne.
So I played this during the media hour. I only played, like, 5 or 10 minutes of it, and yeah. Crispy, you played a pretty good chunk. You got farther in the demo than I did.
Oh, I got murdered. Dude, like, I got...
You got just...
Well, the guy ahead of me got all the way to the boss and everything, and...
Yeah, by the way, that boss looks crazy.
Yeah.
The boss looks nuts.
The dancer of...
Yeah, it, like, moves.
Dancer of the flaming...
It moves so... It looks so creepy.
Well, it has these, like, veils coming off of it that really... Really, you can't tell if it's cloth or, like, smoke. Like, it looks cool. It looks really neat. It has this interesting visual style. I mean, it is straight up Dark Souls. Like, it is Dark Souls. Everything's a little quicker, though. Like, I feel everything like even, feels like, snappier. Even, like, your quick dodge roll, which is normally, you know, quick for Dark Souls, feels a little, you know, it feels like you dodge a little farther, you recover from your dodge a little quicker. The enemies are much more aggressive, and they
you got
team
swarmed
up
at that one point.
They team up.
I got swarmed there.
They team up like Bloodborne enemies, like crazy. It is rough.
You aggroed like 10.
Dude, I was kiting around like 12 guys, and they would not fuck off. Like, it was terrible. Like, it was terrible. And I'm sitting there, you know, like trying to just, you know, swing my sword and kill them all, but you know they're on point with their shields and everything. The major difference was that now with your shield, you don't really have like a parry. If they do, it's not immediately apparent how you use it.
Yeah.
Because that left trigger, which was normally like a parry for your shield, now puts the shield away and puts you into that ready stance for the weapon arts.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the new things.
And so in the control scheme on the screen, it said that was also a parry.
Oh, did it?
Maybe,
maybe there are specific shields that maybe not every shield can do.
Or maybe you have to
parry.
Hold it in conjunction with another button to use it.
I don't know. Because the bumper was still guard.
Yes. Yeah,
like
blocked.
It was still
right.
It's still obviously why else would you have a shield if you couldn't guard with it? I don't know. That was weird because when I was using it was just like as soon as I hit that trigger, his shield goes on his back and he's doing this like fucking Jamie Lannister like like moving around, like pointing a sword. Like, oh, remember the fight, Jaime Lannister fighting, who was it? I don't remember. But he's doing that thing where he's, like, holding his sword, like, in front of him, and it's kind of, like, flat, and he's just, like, pointing it, and he keeps, like positioning very slowly. That's what it looks like. And your strikes are a lot quicker, and he did, like, there was even one where he does, like, a pop-up strike. So, like, you charge, and he, like, kind of comes in low and pops the blade up. It looks like for, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, a juggle, but, like, definitely something to kind of, like, get under someone's guard.
Yeah.
And every weapon apparently is going to have its own.
Yeah. Did you notice the enemies look like they've taken some major inspiration from Bloodborne too.
Dude, everything looks like it's taken major inspiration.
Like the architecture,
it looks like a skeleton of this.
It looks like Miyazaki like has this kind of like it just looks like he's on a kick, you know? Like, he's just really into cathedrals right now. He's really into, like
gothic
stuff. Like, that kind of gothic architecture. I mean, it is still Dark Souls, so it's still more of that, like, dark fantasy. It's like castles and, you know, dragons. Yeah. In fact, there was a really cool section of the demo where, just like in Bloodborne and some, to a lesser extent, like some areas of like Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2, there's a lot of NPCs around that ignore you, and they're all just kind of like mindless zombies, and they're all praying to this body of this dead dragon that's like,
God, which is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, it's like this body of this dragon just kind of like fell on these ramparts of this castle, and like its head is like its neck and head is like craned down, and they're on a lower level, and like there's all these people all over just like praying to it, and there's like a like flakes of dust just like coming off of like ash, yeah, just coming off the dragon, and it looks really, 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 really fucking cool. But like the actual architecture itself looks a hell of a lot like Yharnam.
Yeah,
it looks so. like crazy.
I wonder. This is, you know, just a theoretical question here, but is there any chance they're gonna use Dark Souls 3 as a way to somehow bridge these two universes and imply that they're like connected somehow?
I don't think so, only because they've never even really bridged Dark Souls 1 and 2. They've never bridged Demon Souls with any of the Dark Souls, and there's all these lore guys like Vati Vidya does a lot of lore videos where he'll point out something like, oh, well, this kind of indicates that maybe Dark Souls 1 and 2 are connected. And there's all these little, like, fan theories of, like, oh, well, maybe this was from this.
Dark Souls 1 and 2 were connected.
They're kind of, like, they are and they aren't. Like they use a lot of the same ideas, and they have, like, a lot of references to previous games. But none of it is, like, concrete. Like, these are all different worlds, like, doing different things, you know? None of it is an actual lore thing. It's kind of like you can choose to believe they're all connected if you want to, but not.
Because I remember, because Emily's never played Dark Souls, and she was like, she's trying to get the lay of the land. She was like, so where does it take place? And I looked at her, and I was like, you know, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah,
I've got no clue.
This one's called like Lothron.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called. But
Lotharian, Lothar.
It's like the bonfire was called like Well of Lotharine or something.
Wall of,
It was an L. Lotharine, there was an L.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something. I don't know.
Larno.
But it is a new Larno. It is definitely a new kingdom or, you know,
realm. I'll tell you this, playing a little bit of the demo and watching you play and just seeing that world just got me really, like, really excited again, because I've had to put down Dark Souls a little bit while I was getting through some of the newer stuff, and I'm just like, I want to go home
kinda
and
itchy, play
Dark Souls.
Right?
Yeah, I got
just
the itch.
Itching to,
I got
to
the
play
itch.
Dark Souls.
I mean, I've had the itch. That's why I started playing Dark Souls. But like,
I gotta
set some time apart, because I gotta finish those games.
You need to see a doctor about that itch.
Oh yeah,
you ain't got time for that.
We did we recorded an interview with Mike Chang, who was he was there with Bandai Namco is like a brand manager for Dark Souls, and we talked to him about it a little bit. He wouldn't tell us much of anything, you know. Like, he kind of had like his set like spiel, and wouldn't tell us anything beyond that. And
sure he's got like a whole bunch of shit that he knows
that he can't say.
He just can't say.
And we asked him like even like about like some of the new mechanics that they've already kind of hinted at. Like, oh, can you tell us a little bit? And he's like, no, I can't tell you, man. So there, really the demo kind of just raised a lot more questions than it did answer them.
I was hoping that we could get an answer out of him about the Dark Souls 2 lighting system, whatever happened with that.
He's not going to tell you.
Yeah,
that.
I don't know why you think he'd know anything about that.
Well, I didn't know his role. I didn't know what he did.
Yeah,
he's from marketing.
Like, if he was actually a developer.
He's not even like from Soft. He's from Bandai.
I don't think anybody there was actually from Software.
Dude, I don't think I've met a single like AAA developer this whole time. The one developer I met was at Mad Max, and he wasn't even a Mad Max developer. He was a fucking Shadows of Mordor developer.
Yeah.
Like,
he was like, I don't know how to play this game.
He's like, we're still trying to figure the game out ourselves.
There's a lot of marketing people. But,
yeah,
so,
you know what's funny? This is kind of off topic, but they are pumping some serious money into promoting Mad Max at PAX.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, because they're not doing it anywhere else.
I know. But,
well, I guess
what,
they did do like.
But
some
like
TV
they
spots.
Are literally they're part. They partnered with Uber and they have like Mad Max themed Uber
they
cars.
Do. Yeah, really it was cool. Between like it was like Friday, Saturday, and maybe tomorrow between a certain set of time your Uber
like
app.
10 to 6, I think.
They had them all parked out front of the convention hall today, all of them.
Your Uber app, like where you can select like Uber, Uber XL, like premium. Like one of the options says Uber Mad Max. And it's like, if you select this, you might get a Mad Max car to come pick you up. Like, and they have them there. Yeah. They look fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. They even had a whole bunch of people in Mad Max cosplay, like standing on top of the cars, like chanting and stuff.
Out there.
Yeah. So, you know, but why I bring that up is like, while I'm excited about the game, we talked about it yesterday, and I'm going to play it for sure. Like, yeah. It's just one of those things, like it doesn't matter. Like, they're pumping so much money into promoting this game right now. It is probably doing more harm than good. Because no matter how much money they pump into this, nothing is going to change the fact that they're releasing day and date with Metal Gear Solid 5.
Well, nothing. Again, they have no choice in that matter, because that's when the Blu-ray for Mad Max Fury Road comes out this week. They have to sell it when the Blu-ray is out immediately, otherwise sales are going to plummet dramatically.
And I also think that there's a good portion of people that haven't played the Metal Gear games at all. And so Mad Max is an option.
Sure, and don't get me wrong, there are going to be people out there who buy it, but it's just like there's a massive number of people out there who would probably love to play Mad Max, but who would also love to play Metal Gear, and they're just not going to do both.
Right. Yeah.
And that kind of sucks, because I think it has a lot of potential, and you know, who knows? It just kind of sucks to see it kind of. I've been looking forward to this for, you know, 3+ years since we first saw it, and it was just like.
You saw Mad Max 3 years ago?
Dude, E3. It was E3 really? 3 years ago. And then it disappeared for 2 E3s. And then this year it came back.
Good lord.
Yeah. So that was before we even knew Just Cause 3 was a thing. And it looked really cool back then. And just to see it, like, after such a long buildup, to see it like, and we're releasing next to Metal Gear.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. That's great.
I hope it does fairly well, though. You know, you never know.
I mean, if it's a good game.
Yeah.
I hope it's a good game.
I hope it's a good game. Yeah. I hope it has a chance. We'll see what happens. We'll find out next week. Anyways, off topic. Dark Souls.
That's all I had to say about Dark Souls. I mean, it's Dark Souls and it's Bloodborne.
It gave me the itch. I'm sure it gave a lot of people the itch.
And people were waiting 3 hours to play. Yeah. It was crazy. And they have that huge fucking... That huge set piece statue out there.
That was actually E3, and they had these booth babes standing out front of E3, I don't even know what they were doing there, but they were basically like monitoring things, and they wouldn't let me play in the blood.
Oh,
they wouldn't let me play in the blood. I was like,
wait, was it blood at E3 or was it that?
It was blood.
Black liquid.
I don't even think like they had
that. The same black liquid.
But they didn't. I don't think they had like in the one here at PAX. He's like stabbing the body on the ground. I don't think the body was there. It was just like a stone in the ground with blood shoot or like the.
No, the body was there. What they did, it's a modular display.
Uh-huh.
So one part of the display is the body with the blood, and then there's another part of the display without the body in which you can go over to it and you can try lifting the sword. It's for photo ops.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Well.
Well,
Mr. Point is, I was like, Brad, I will take a picture in this blood, and they just wouldn't let me do it. But hey, whatever. Well, whatever.
Yeah, we can't have you covered in blood. But yeah, I mean...
It's just another Saturday night.
It's Dark Souls, so I was already excited, and I'm no more excited than I already was.
But you're no
less
excited.
But I was really excited. Yeah.
Man, y'all heard that XCOM was pushed back to next spring, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly,
it's going to be a spring game, and just Jesus Christ.
Honestly, I was really happy when I saw that announcement, because... They need to start delaying stuff.
If that was going to come out, like, I really liked XCOM, and I would love to play XCOM 2, but if I had to start making tough choices this fall, like, XCOM would probably be cut pretty quickly.
Yeah. There's a lot of games that I'm really thrilled to play, but they just need to start clearing out around Fallout. They just need to start spreading out, you know, whatever.
I mean, you got Fallout and Battlefront within a week.
And Tomb Raider.
Well, yeah, if you have an Xbox.
Yeah. Well, some of us have Xboxes, Crispy. All right, what else we got?
Just half mention Minecraft. Let's talk about Minecraft just a little
we
bit.
Played Minecraft Story Mode.
It's
what else did we play?
Minecraft... No. Okay, so there's not much to say gameplay-wise because it's a Telltale game.
Guys,
so you know exactly what it is.
No, okay, so the only reason I went to this appointment with you is because I really just, in my mind, I was like... What in the fuck does that even mean, Minecraft Story Mode?
When they're saying story mode, they're just saying it's a cutesy, like, nod to the fact that it's a video game and they're writing a story about it.
I know.
It's, that's what the guy said to me.
I just could not picture, like, what does a story in Minecraft look like?
Well, what the guy was telling me is, like, and it turns Minecraft out, doesn't have a story, so we made one.
And it turns out it looks like the fucking Walking Dead in Minecraft.
Yeah. Well, it looks like a Telltale game.
Except instead of zombies...
Well, there are...
No, there were zombies.
Well, there are zombies. But
the first encounter is against zombies.
Yeah, but instead of, like, trying to, like, stop this horribly dark story about, like, this girl being killed by zombies, you're trying to save this pig who's lost in the woods.
No, that's how the demo starts. I know. But it gets pretty, like you're going through, like, these portals, and there's, like, a big monster that no one's ever seen before.
There's dialogue.
Yeah.
There's
Patton Oswalt is the main male character.
Yeah.
Well, because you can... This is actually the first one where you can pick your character, and there's, like, six different templates.
That was honestly the biggest difference between this and any other Telltale game, is that you can pick your character.
Three female, three male, and we couldn't pick any but the pre-chosen one that they gave us.
The male one.
Who happened to be voiced by Patton Oswalt.
I bet he probably voices all of them, no matter what.
He does the male voice. Yeah. And then the female voice was somebody.
Someone from
Ashley Johnson?
No.
Ashley Johnson was in the game. She's Petra, your friend. Was it Star?
Was there some sexual tension going on between?
It was from
between Petra and I don't know.
Definitely some sexual tension for me going on. Well, I mean, when I was playing the game, not like
there was sexual. What, guys?
Those curves, those angular lines.
You see the curves on her? Holy shit! There were none of them.
Not a one to be.
But around. Yeah, I was I was hoping for something like a Minecraft game with a little bit of Telltale in there, but it's very much a Telltale game with a Minecraft skin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A very, very thick Minecraft skin, though.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, every aspect. It looks like they pulled, like, all the visual and sound assets straight from
Minecraft. Yeah, and there's a couple cutesy hints to things. Like, he breaks his sword at one point, and he's holding the half of the sword that broke off, and then it just poofs, disappears
away.
Yeah.
He makes mention of the fact that they're in a game at one point, I think.
And there's also a
crafting section.
Yeah. I've never played a minute of Minecraft in my life, so I was struggling with this crafting system.
Well, it's not as like it took. I got stuck there too because it's just like it's the crafting table from Minecraft. So it's the 3x3 grid.
Yeah.
And you put your ingredients on it, and it makes whatever you're
whatever recipe
you're following. But now it's been a while since I played Minecraft, so I don't know if this is true anymore. But when I was playing, it used to just be you just select the materials and then it makes it. It didn't really matter like what configuration they were in.
When they came out with the console version of Minecraft, they introduced this new simplified version of the crafting system, and then they eventually integrated that into the core PC version. But there's still the option for the classic, you know, figure out how to craft things system.
But I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, in this, it was very much dependent on you have to put it. So you're making a sword, so it's two stones and a stick.
And that is,
and
very...
you have to go middle row, like middle column of the crafting table, stone, stick,
right?
Or else it doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
and I was stuck there for like a minute, just being like, "What the fuck? I've got two stones and a stick on the table. Give me a goddamn sword."
And that's how that's how in Minecraft you build everything, right?
Is it still like that?
It is. Yeah. It is like that because like if you want a pickaxe, you make like stones in the corner and then do a sticks on the.
I don't remember.
Like basically, you make the shape of the.
Has it always been like that?
I don't know if it's always been like that, but it's always been like that when I play.
Again, that's the classic system. That's the way it's been since it launched.
I mean, I don't know because I don't fucking play Minecraft.
When they introduced the console version, they introduced a simplified craft system. It lists the stuff. You select the stuff you want to build, and it tells you whether you have the necessary ingredients, and you just click on it, and boom, you have it.
Right? You know, what I think is hilarious about this is that this is the only game... This has never happened before. We're filming a video, and a baby walks into the.
Yeah,
wow. Like
it wasn't a baby. It was
like a toddler.
A small child walked into, like, just wandered. And
dude,
we
had trouble with that during the fucking Dark Souls video too. Some dude just walked in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah,
that was weird. While I was signing off, like I was like, "Stay tuned to," like the guy
like
walked
in front of
me.
The camera.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Son he walked bitch. In between or whatever. But the kid just kind of walked up while me and Chris are talking, and he looks up at us and goes, "I have a question."
And it's just ask Crispy a question.
I have many questions.
I don't know if that video is ever going to make it, but we'll see. It was weird. Anyways, let's move on. What else do we have? What else do we have?
I think we're running low.
Yeah, tomorrow's.
I played a game called Mushroom 11.
I've seen that like three PAXes, and I've never played it. Should I play
that
it?
That game is a hell of a lot of fun.
Describe so this game
the,
to me. What
the
is
idea
this?
Is that the character in the game or whatever is a fungus, and it grows to a certain volume or whatever. And then the whole gameplay is you on a mouse erasing the fungus and letting it grow out in the direction that you're... So, like...
And this is fun.
You're basically trying to wrangle how it's growing.
Exactly. So, like, it's a way of traversing things or whatever. So, like, if you want the fungus to move to the left, then you'll start erasing to the right, and it'll grow out to the left.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever. And so, it's...
So, you're pruning mushrooms.
Kind of. But it's more like...
You're pruning fungus.
So...
Fungus among
us. It grows whatever... Wherever it can, basically.
Yeah.
So, at one point, there's, like, split paths, mm-hmm. and one of them leads to lava or whatever, and the other one leads to go away. And you get up to this intersection, it grows in both directions, and then you're supposed to clear out the direction that it went that you don't want it to go, so it'll continue growing in the direction that you want it to.
Gotcha.
So, it's kind of like, there's no, like, real controls or whatever, other than you erasing things on the mouse and trying to force it to go into the direction that you want it to.
Interesting.
But it's yeah, so it's definitely a different kind of play style. But just as an example, at one point, you go on top of this thing, this little building thing, and it starts to fall. And as it falls, there's lava below it, so if you don't do it right, you just fall right into the lava if you're just sitting on top of the building. Mm-hmm. But the building has a little circle, like a little cup shape, and you actually grow into the cup, and then it swings around, and you're actually inside the thing, but there's still a bunch of shit growing outside of the little thing, but it holds on to the building.
Interesting.
In the little thing. Yeah, you should give it a try.
It sounds harder to picture than... This is one of those games, every time I walk by it, I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Because it's just kind of weird looking, so I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah,
I think it's time. I've literally walked by it like three or four.
Yeah,
times.
Definitely give it a try because it is something that maybe when you're watching, you don't really
grasp
think
it
would be that much fun. But when you're actually there playing it, it is frustrating. It is enjoyable at the same time because it's definitely something different that I haven't really seen control wise before.
Okay, cool. Maybe I'll give that a shot. I do have to. There's a few things I need to wrap up and play in the mega booth. That is where it is, right? The mega booth.
It's in the very middle.
Very middle of the mega booth. There's one other game I played today that I want to mention. It's called Kona. Played Kona.
I heard about this.
Up on the sixth floor, in the same hall with Hob and whatnot. And this is the game takes place in like 1970s Alaska during like this horrendous snowstorm, and you play this like detective or this private investigator who's going to this town to speak with a representative for this Native American tribe or speak to someone who is in the town. There's basically a conflict between the people who are living in the town and this Native American tribe, and you are hired by one of those people, one side, I don't remember which one, but you go to the town to meet someone and talk about this case, and you get there and everyone's gone. It's desolate, but there's this torrential snowstorm. And you basically are just wandering around this environment trying to figure out...
Did everybody go to the rapture?
No, you eventually find people that are like frozen and encased in ice. It's funny you mention that because my biggest problem with the demo was that you walk really slow.
Oh, God. No,
but then at the very end, Emily was like, there's a run button. And I was like, what do you mean there's a run button? She's like, tap down on the stick. And I was like, son of a bitch! And then you're just running like fucking Call of Duty, just
okay,
hauling
so it's
ass.
Not a slow build-up.
Yeah, no,
rapture
no slow
has.
Build-up. You just... click down like Call of Duty and you're just running just hauling ass. So that was my bad. I bet the people watching me play were like, Jesus Christ, just run. Yeah. And I was just walking at a really slow pace. But you can get in cars and like drive. It's cool too because like you'll get into a car and you like have to actually physically turn, like use the stick to turn around and look out the back window while you're going in reverse. And he said it's episodic, and he said and like just the first episode alone is about three square miles of environment, and you literally just go into these buildings and investigate things, like pick up notes and find combinations to, like, I found a combination to a safe which I used to get materials, and you have like a wheel, like a wheel menu, and you'll see things like you have to manage your temperature, because if it gets too cold you'll start to lose health, so you need to find heat sources. You have weight, so you can only carry a certain amount of items. And there's two other ones. There's like health and I think probably stamina. I don't remember. But you can also find things in the environment and combine them to do other things. And it really is just kind of an exploration. Take everything in, solve the mystery of what's happening. And it seems like kind of a cool setup. But the demo just didn't... It just kind of lacked a certain... It didn't have like a very clear objective, I guess. I was just wandering around just until I found something and just investigating.
I mean, you were finding these frozen over bodies in the environment.
Yeah.
Just like something out of fucking comic book or something.
Frozen people everywhere.
But it feels like it wants to have like horror elements.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not there.
I don't know if it's ultimately going to feel like, it's just supposed to, I think it's supposed to be, if anything, just a little unsettling.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a game where you're like running from monsters or anything like
and
that.
And when you were inside, it looked like that, at least when I was watching Emily's screen, because she spent most of the time inside for some reason, it looked like it was trying to do that hyper-realism as if it was kind of like inspired by PT and things like that.
The game was built, I think, in Unity. I think it was Unity. I don't remember. But the game is actually really a really good-looking game. Like the environment looks beautiful. The trees are like blowing in the wind.
The animation of the snowstorm is great.
It looks amazing. And I don't know. I was exploring like an attic, and I pulled out like a lantern. And like the light wasn't like super overwhelming, and I thought it was really, it looked really well done. But yeah, it does look like it's going for some hyper realism there, because it's a pretty good looking game, especially for, you know, such a small development team and such a kind of unique concept. But I don't know, I'm interested in it. It's on my radar, and given the fact that I like to play these kinds of games on the feed, I will probably give this a spin when it comes out. But they don't have a release date for it yet. At least not that I'm aware of. The guy that was there was speaking with a couple of other people, so I didn't have many opportunities to ask questions. But it's cool. It's called Kona. And I'd keep an eye. I'm sure it's going to be PC and console at some point. What else we have?
I played two games that y'all didn't. One I'm going to save for tomorrow, which is Homefront's Revolution.
Yeah, because we have an appointment to play that. So.
Yeah. But that's the great thing about the Intel booth, is that they have like five or six games that are you have to go elsewhere for, that are just tons of lines for, and you can just go walk up and play it.
Yeah.
But the other game I played was Just Cause 3.
And how was that?
It was pretty good.
Wait, you played that at the Intel booth?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the demo they had on hand. It was a bunch of challenge maps.
Yeah.
Basically, you're supposed to use your RPG to take down a bunch of radio towers and stuff like that. You've probably seen the video of it, actually.
Yeah.
And the other, there was another where you walk going around in a tank and you're blowing up stuff. And then the others were wingsuit challenges.
And how did you play those?
Yes. Basically, the idea is that you go as high as a helicopter can take you, and it drops you off, and you start flying through these rings. Kind of really reminded me of Pilot Wings in a way.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of what Pilot Wings was.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But cool.
But no, you're flying through these rings, and the interesting part is that you start getting closer towards the ground, and they start opening up different paths for the rings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just fly in a bunch of different directions. And at one point, I was flying off way to the right, and the rings started going underground into a cave. And then I came into this beach alcove where the rings finally hit the water and it was over.
That's cool.
Oh, that's neat.
So do the wingsuit feel like it controlled well, or
it controls pretty well. It's a little floaty, as you would expect a wingsuit to be. But it's all right. You can do some pretty precise control if you just nudge the stick just right.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm pretty excited for that game.
The destruction. I like the destruction. I have a few problems with it, because it's determined, it's kind of like Mirror's Edge in a way. When you played Mirror's Edge,
when things changed to the red color, you knew you could interact with it and climb with it and use it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The idea in Just Cause, it seems, is that if it's painted red or has some like red pattern on it, it's either explosive or easily destructible.
Okay.
Hmm. Well, they don't really telegraph that well.
Okay.
And so you're gonna find a bunch of the buildings in the environment that you think that would be easily destroyable, like a concrete guard shack that's just right on the corner. Like,
yeah.
You think you could just blow that up with a tank, but you put 6 rounds into it, nothing fucking happens.
That's weird.
Yeah, but
I was kind of under the impression that just about everything in that game was destructible.
No, there's a lot that is destructible, but there's a ton that evidently I don't think is at all. Mm. I mean, right next to it was like a guard tower that I could just blow up in one shot. But this little bitty shitty guard shack, I can't do anything to.
That's weird. Okay, well.
And granted, I've never played a Just Cause game before. I know that sounds like a fucking sin.
Well, I've never played a Just Cause game either. I didn't
really?
I didn't like the first one very much, and the second one just, I don't know, I got away from me.
Yeah, the controls, a little convoluted. You know, trying to figure out how to actually use the switch weapons, how to ready and aim, and just even like using the harpoon.
Yeah. That seems like a common thread between that and Mad Max, learning how to use that fucking harpoon.
Yeah, it's...
I'm going to try and go by and play that at the Square Enix booth. Well,
you can go by the Intel booth and you just play their controller.
I wonder if it's the same demo.
I think it is the same demo.
Yeah, probably. Okay, well, then maybe I'll go by the Intel booth and just...
There's a lot of things over there. Me and Chris played Dreadnought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, instead of waiting 3 hours in line to play at the Dreadnought booth, you could just walk up to the Intel booth, wait for one match to finish, which is, you know, maybe 10 minutes.
Nice.
And then play Dreadnought.
There's a lot of stuff over there.
So Dreadnought's still good?
It's still good. They took out my baby, though, the scout ship from the Pack South demo,
The warp drive one?
No. The scout ship in the Pack South demo didn't have a warp drive. Instead, it had an active cloaking field. So you could sneak up under people and then just like start launching missiles into their underside and shit like that. And I loved it.
They took it out of the game or just out of the demo?
No, just out of the demo. Each class of ship is going to have multiple different models and then upgrades and like equipment you can attach to it.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, like a class based, you know, first person shooter, like a Team Fortress, like maybe even a Call of Duty in a way, and just assign that to various different capital ships.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, the ship I really enjoyed when I played at PAX South, I didn't get to play it here. It was the artillery class, and it's basically a sniper ship.
Yeah, you can go off, still...
It's got this fucking rail gun that just destroys
from
a distance.
The whole ship is like one long rail gun. And it's a sniper. It's like you said, the one, I don't know if the one at PAX South had this, but the one here has a stationary cloak field. So if you're not moving,
it didn't have that,
can cloak and be invisible be like sniping people. It's stupid.
I played as the heavy destroyer for the majority of the time, and I was kind of in the middle of the map and firing off in the distance at other ships. And whenever they would see me, I would just drop down. There's a bunch of structures around me. I would just drop down and hide in the structures until they decided that it wasn't worth the time, and then I'd rise back up and start shooting them again.
Nice.
Yeah, so that game is something else.
I'll tell you what, Nikki, you got to go by. You got to try this game out. It's pretty fun.
I will try
it's
it.
It's fun.
It's fun.
I don't know. Well, if the Intel booth is going to have it tomorrow, you think?
Oh yeah, they had it yesterday.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then we'll definitely go try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still good.
Anything else?
The closed beta is coming out for that relatively soon, right?
Well, they have signups for it, but
okay,
you know, the game doesn't come out until next year, so who knows? I hope it doesn't come out too soon, because I don't have a computer on which to play.
Well, I've loaned you one, but we need to get
that
working.
Which doesn't work. God fucking damn it.
That's next on our list.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take care of that tonight, in fact.
Tonight.
Are you... Okay, wait. Did you talk about Hyper Light Drifter?
Not yet, but I can talk about it.
Save it for tomorrow, because I want to play that game.
Okay.
That's on my list.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I covered everything Everything else I played wasn't really worth talking about.
Okay. Well, Ed, you got anything?
That's it.
All right. Well, I think we're going to call it a night then. Tomorrow's day three. This is Chris and Christy's last day, but they're going to be there all day, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have a full day.
We'll have to depart early if we want to record a podcast, but
yeah, we'll figure something out. And then me and Ed will be here Monday, so we'll try and squeeze anything we miss. But we're going to play, we have an appointment to play Homefront tomorrow, so we'll talk about that.
I'm playing Tenersha. And the King's Bird.
The King's Bird. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, we played the King's Bird at South. That was...
Oh, yeah?
It was interesting.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm going to make a concerted effort to go... So, on the sixth floor, if you go into the corner, you'll meet the developers that did Shadowrun and Shadowrun Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And this fall, they're launching a Kickstarter for a Battletech game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty fucking exciting. And they don't really have that much to show off, but I'm hoping we can score something.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, by the way, there is a game called The Planet... I think it's called The Planet of Eyes?
Yeah.
That was called?
Yeah.
Planet of Eyes?
Yeah, Planet of the Eyes.
Planet of the Eyes. This is not something... I only played it a little bit. You play a little robot. I don't want to go into it too much. It's really simple, but it's a really adorable game. You play this little robot, and it's a puzzle platformer. And there is, as far as I can tell, there's two buttons. One is jump, and the other is do the robot. Like, you press A to jump, and you press Y, and he'll just, wherever he's doing, he just stops and does this little jig. Like, it's great. It's very simple. But it's charming as hell. It's up there in the sixth floor as well. I'd recommend stopping to play it if you see it. It's cool.
Cool.
All right. That's it, guys. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to go ahead and call it a night. And I guess join us again tomorrow for another day of PAX Impressions.
Sounds good.
Peace out.
Good night.
Bye.